right back into the numbers this week. We'll be looking at two interest rate decisions outside of Australia and the UK.
Yeah.
And before we get into that, we're going to jump right in talking about the GDP growth or gross domestic product growth of the UK. They beat forecasts at 0.2% growth, which is up from negative 0.2%. From the end of 2023, so beginning of 2024, has seen the UK come out of a recession. Great news for them, but the public, you can still see when looking at the numbers, is still feeling it. There's still a reduction in their spending. Where you see a lot of that uptick was interesting to see from the public sector spending. They were up to 3.7% from 2.5%. So a significant uptick there. But at the end, we still kind of see this rough economic situation as the UK deals with getting inflation back into control, a recession now that they've had. It's still a challenge for them in their Britex era.
Yeah, definitely. But I think that's exactly the right way to do it. I think it's not perceived wrong to give governmental support once you're in a recession, and that is what currently is happening. More the issue is that within the last couple of years where there was clearly no recession, that there was already a lot of public spending, government spending, and I think that is where this, the challenges are coming in, especially when it comes to the debt levels of the government. And so it's for sure that the people, they realize, okay, we cannot spend the way we did in the past. They have their budget, they have their income and their spendings, and so maybe they cannot go on vacation at the same frequency as they used to. And that is something an economy has to go through every now and then, and it's not necessarily something really bad. It does hurt at the moment when you are in this situation, but as you can see, and also see from the past, from the history, there is always a way out.
Yeah, and what I think is interesting, rolling over into their interest rate decision, the Bank of England has kept their interest rates at 2.5%. 5.25. I said 2.2. Again, got them again on the podcast. All right. But it's interesting to see that they've now come out of recession still with elevated interest levels. And that doesn't say that lower interest levels don't help kick the economy outside of a recession or activate spending. But you can see when a country was going through such economic struggles for the past few years, that they were even able to bring themselves out of a recession by letting the economy work in a tightening period, in a period where interest rates remained high because they're trying to battle inflation.
Yeah, definitely. And it's also, in hindsight, it's also good if you see once you are in a recession, then you can start to improve again. And that was something I already mentioned last week with Europe in general, Germany specifically. And I mean, that's pretty much like the comparison between Europe and European countries and the US, where you haven't seen a recession since 2020. And so I think that, as I said, every now and then there will be a recession. Sooner or later, it will hit the economy. And once you are in this recession, you're good to go.
And I think what's also interesting there, in terms of being in a recession and moving forward, companies in a free economy really try to figure out, how do we incentivize our employees to get us out of this hole? We're struggling to get out of this hole. So how do we incentivize our employees? I was talking with a colleague who works for a large corporation. And they were taught, he works in sales, and he said, yeah, we've been having a tough year. So what did the company do? They said, hey, if you hit your targets and exceed those targets, we'll pay you even more of a bonus than that's already in your contract. So you see companies that even might be struggling are trying to find ways to motivate their workers to bring them out of a tough time. And that's what a recession can do for a country, is allow for some things to kind of struggle and look for innovative ways or ways to adapt to move your country out of that. And I think they're, in the UK, especially with the history that they have, it'll be interesting to see where they come out now that they're away from the EU, now that they're standing independent. How do their companies proceed? Are we going to see some corrections? Are we going to see some big players fall? Are we going to see new players come up, especially when it comes into looking at investments? It's quite an interesting market and one to keep an eye on.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, so we also have the interest rate that was from the Royal Bank of Australia. It came out, they held steady at 4.35% there. What I really think is quite interesting with the Bank of Australia is they didn't really give any hawkish or dovish signals of where they're going to be going. They said, hey, we're going to look at the data. Inflation is still a concern, but we have to look at the global economy because we're serving the global economy. We're going to have to look at our own economy and see where to go when the data shows up. Mm-hmm. And their target inflation range in terms of price stability, what they're trying to bring it to is between 2-3%. So quite actually a bit higher than a lot of the countries that we usually monitor that set it right at 2%, or Switzerland that's 0-2%. Mm-hmm. So they're a bit higher. So they have a little bit different approach to it.
Yeah, but I also think that this something we prefer anyways, also with the Swiss National Bank, the communication which gets along with the interest rate decision is always very important to the investors. You see that very clearly with the US, where like every word that Sharon Powell says is being laid on the, like, what is it called?
A Ouija board.
Yeah. It's, now, I mean, it's like the impact these words have, it's too extreme in some cases. And I do like when national banks keep their flexibility so they can go both ways, whatever suits the economy better. And then when they also keep the expectations horizon as broad as possible, it's also easier to react in the economy or in the context of how the economy is weakening without having certain players that play against you.
Yeah, and I think while maybe, you know, that in terms of like speculation where Jerome Paul comes out and says things, and investors start getting on their boards, taking bets here and there, or investing here and there based off of these comments, exactly what you said, you can look at the company and try to evaluate it on, okay, what's the current environment? We don't know where it's going to go. We can't really speculate based off of what the national bank says, but that's kind of a better place to be for us looking at the markets. Now, it's challenging, certainly, for organizations that need, you know, that credit line. How are we going to make our budgets? How are we going to plan what we're, our economic activity of how we're going to grow? But at the same time, I think it provides a better environment because, you know, the bank is going to truly act on the data that's in front of it and not just look at laggards, but look at, okay, what's coming in the future and who are the other players that are going to have effect on us.
Yeah, agreed.
So we had some interesting news coming out of Sweden, I believe it was, correct?
Yeah, so there's also like the National Bank in Sweden. They were like the second in the Western Hemisphere, I would say, cutting interest rates by 25 basis points to 3.75. Interesting with Sweden is that their inflation is still above 2%, but even so it is, they cut interest rates, and also on top of that, prepared markets and saying there will probably be two more interest rate cuts within this year, by the end of this year. So the expectations will be that the interest rates will stay somewhere around 3.25%. Whether it will happen or not, I mean, it's quite a bold move to be as clear on that on like the intentions the central bank has. But it is interesting to see that after Switzerland, and I mean, in Switzerland, the situation is quite different with the inflation rate. We are somewhere around 1.4%, which is clearly within the target range of 0-2%. So it is a little bit of a different situation. And we could also see in Sweden that after the decision, the Swedish krona started or continued to weaken against the US dollar.
Yeah, which is something that the bank talked about, as where inflation even might come back a bit in Sweden. Yeah. So that they're even aware of that, making those interest rate cuts is quite interesting. It'll be a good playing field to look at Sweden versus Switzerland and how they've handled their interest rates and where it moves from there. Mm-hmm. So just the last little thing before we get into what we're covering next week, Switzerland's unemployment numbers came out at 2.3%, so a little bit less. So Switzerland's continues to look great. National Bank didn't have anything to do with that because they only focus on price stability, which is also interesting. But it's cool to see how the Swiss market is taking care of it.
Okay.
So next week we have inflation numbers in the US and the euro area that we'll be looking at, as well as Japan's gross domestic product growth.
Correct.